You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Your host, Dr. Kristen Lyerly. That's why the show is called the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show. How about that? And in the immortal words of Pink, let's get this party started. And we're kicking it off like a party because we want you to have fun and be entertained. But today's show is so much more than that. And there are going to be times where I think it's going to get a little heavy, a lot heavy probably. But I guarantee you that there will also be light. And we just have to know where to find it, just like the whole world right now. One more thing about this show. It's about Northeast Wisconsin, but Northeast Wisconsin does not exist in a vacuum. And while we will always be grounded here, don't be surprised by the connections we make with beautiful people doing incredible things all over the world. And today, we're going to Ukraine. And our guide is three-time Emmy Award-winning journalist and Green Bay area resident, Kelly Peterson. Kelly, thank you for inspiring our conversation today.
Thank you for having us here, yeah, Dr. Lyerly.
Of course. It's just such a joy always to spend time with you. And I would love for you to introduce our audience to our guest since you know her so well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So Lana Nyland just came in this week from Ukraine. She lives in downtown Kyiv, Ukraine, and she is a wonderful human being who risks her life to save others and help bring humanitarian aid and much-needed supplies to the front line and to the towns that have been bombed, blown up, destroyed by Russia. And Lana can tell you a little bit more about that. But I met Lana through a mutual friend, and I was actually in Russia when the 2 weeks before the full-up invasion, because the war started in 2014. Mm-hmm. And when the full escalation happened in 2023, I couldn't understand because a lot of the people I met in Russia were from Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Or they had family. I couldn't understand. Why are they bombing their brothers, their sisters, their grandparents? So I became very interested, and I was an executive producer working for a TV show out west, a newscast. And the night of the invasion was the night I was on duty as the EP, and it started at 9 o'clock here, and I remember saying we have to redo this entire show.
So in an hour, you had to flip everything around,
and you
made the whole thing about Ukraine.
Had to. There was no question, and that's how I really got involved with Lana and her story. I'm the chairwoman of Ukrainian Patriot, which Lana founded, representing the United States of America. Mm-hmm. And I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, as you should be. So I think you are amazing. Lana, you're like a hero.
Heroes are a subjective word.
Yeah, it is, but it's true. I mean, you are a woman who knows no fear. So let's give a little background about you. You are Canadian by birth, Ukrainian by heritage.
No heritage, by heart, I would say.
By heart.
Actually.
And by fate.
And by fate, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. 22 years in.
Wow. Wow. Hey, and you've been featured in Time magazine.
That's true. I forgot about that.
Yes.
In that
That's
first
how busy
year.
You are. You yes. forget about things like yeah. Time magazine.
Yeah.
And you are the founder and the CEO of Ukrainian Patriot, which is a nonprofit based in Kyiv, not Kyiv, not Kiev, but Kyiv.
There you go.
Is the appropriate way mm-hmm. to pronounce it.
Ukrainian transliteration, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kyiv. And Ukrainian Patriot is staffed with people who work 24/7 to keep the hardest hit parts of the country as safe and supported as possible. And I should mention that the two of you are working on an upcoming documentary.
That's correct.
About what Lana does and the difference she makes in this war-torn country that so many of us, whether we have ties to Ukraine by heritage, you know, for any reason, we've all been captivated by this story. Your story is about Ukraine, but it starts in Saskatchewan.
It does, yes.
Take us there.
Oh, Saskatchewan. You know, I used to think that the city I was born in was such a big place, and that I was just this little fish in this massive pond, until I left in 2003 to pursue a dance career in Ukraine. And I thought I would be gone for a year or two and get dance sort of out of my system, and then head back to Canada to start, you know, in quotes, real life. Mm-hmm. And real life really found me in Ukraine in 2004. The Orange Revolution kicked off.
Right.
So that was my first interaction with a really historic event. Not just watching it from the television, but actually being in the middle of something that was going to change lives, and not just a few. And so that got me hooked. And then dance, of course, took me to these incredible stages all across the world. My first tour was to China. I've been across Europe in some of the oldest theaters and the oldest stages, just incredible places. And so my heart was, yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about Ukrainian dancing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's
pleasure.
It's vibrant. It's colorful.
It is.
It's hard.
It's very hard. it kicked my butt. Yes.
Oh, well, literally. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the moves.
It's true. Although the girls are known more so for their turning abilities. But yes, yeah. We, the ensemble that I danced with was, it's called Ensemble Vierskova, or Viersky Ensemble in English. We danced, it was a job. You know, we went to work 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, unless mm-hmm. we had shows on the weekend or in the evenings. An intense ballet beginning, and then technique classes throughout the afternoon, and then you know, repertoire in the evening or in the afternoon. And so, yes, I was in very, very good shape. I'm not in bad shape now, but at the
right.
time, yeah.
And you know, hard work.
I do.
So
yes.
Going from that to what you're doing now, really, it's totally different, but there are so many similar principles.
Do you know, I think that had I not lived in Ukraine throughout this time leading up to all of this, I don't know that I would have had the same level of perseverance. And I'll tell you why. I worked and lived in a community, in a society that was exceptionally Soviet. We were still, you know, Ukraine was still hanging on to its Soviet ties. The way that life was structured, it was very, you know, you did this and you didn't question it and you just got on with it and you mm-hmm. sucked it up. Mm. And that really prepared me for a life where you don't always get what you want, mm-hmm. but if you know what you want, you go after it and you work hard to get it.
Right.
And that is really the epitome of what Ukrainian Patriot now embodies, because we know what we want. We want peace.
Right.
We want everybody to have some kind of connection with a democratic reality, a democratic future going forward. I'm not afraid what that means, you know, going forward in terms of, you know, front line forward, mm-hmm. Because that's really where the biggest fight at this moment is happening. And so you just take it on. You take it on and you persevere and you become exceptionally resilient in the process.
And we are definitely going to talk about your experiences on the front line. But before that, I want to set the stage a little bit about what is it like in Ukraine? You talked a little bit about the connections with the Soviets. What is the culture like? How do you compare it to where you grew up or where we are right now in Northeast Wisconsin? Is it very different? Are there a lot of similarities? What do you see?
It's different and it's the same. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the day, we're all people. We all want a good life. But how we go about that, or what we think of ourselves, how we think of ourselves in terms of our ability to achieve that is very different. I think that for a long time, Ukrainians understood that they didn't really have an opportunity to have a voice in their futures. And they were, you know, whatever it was that was available to them was passed along as a sort of handout from the government.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last 20 years, especially, Ukrainians have understood that if they want a good life, it's up to them to create it.
In 20 years?
Yes.
Mm. That's a short time for such a monumental change.
Yeah, it's just, you know, a teenager, basically.
Yeah.
Plus one. Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2014, you were there when tanks were rolling past your apartment.
Well, that was 2022.
Mm-hmm.
1314 mm-hmm. was the revolution, revolution of dignity. And that's what began the war in the East, let me say. Mm-hmm. And so there were parts of Eastern Ukraine, Donetsk and Luhansk, that were taken over by Russian forces and have been occupied since 2014. Which is what instigated the tanks rolling past in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah. This is so much more than we think about. It's been 3 years. It's been much longer than 3 years.
That's right. This is the full scale invasion.
Right.
The war actually started now 11 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was it like to see those tanks rolling past your window?
I woke up that morning with dozens of messages and phone calls and people saying I needed to get out. I didn't know at that moment exactly why. I just knew that people were exceptionally worried for my safety. And then I understood. And then the fear started to creep in. And at that moment, I relayed a message to anyone who was paying attention to my, you know, my physical space, my physical security. And I said, you know what, you guys, I love you and I thank you so much for your support. I need you to send me light and love, though. Your fear and your worry don't help me at this moment. So whatever happens, it's meant to happen, but support me, hold me as you know, events unfold.
That is a message that obviously sustained you at the time, but I think it's very relevant for all of us right now here in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Lana, I want to continue this conversation. When we come back, hey, let's talk about how a Canadian dancer becomes a Ukrainian hero.
Love it.
I know that word is hard, but it is real. It is real. This is Dr. Kristen Lierley. You are listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show on WGBW and WISS.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Прийшли окупанти до нас в Україну. Форма новенька, воєнні машини, та трохи поплавився їх інвентар. Байрактар.
The Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I am Dr. Kristen Lierley, and I am joined today by Emmy Award-winning journalist Kelly Peterson and her muse, founder and CEO of Ukrainian Patriot, Lana Nyland. Did you like the music?
I loved it. Yes.
Very
just
appropriate.
What we need.
Tell us about it.
Well, Bayraktar is an unmanned aerial apparatus that assists our defenders in keeping Ukraine as safe as possible.
And it's like it's a symbol. It makes people very excited and feel very patriotic.
Mm. Indeed. Well, I think that there's a number of items within that list that could do that equally as well. One of them actually is a flag. I don't know if we... Did we bring the flag?
No.
Not this time.
Like
this time.
The Ukrainian flag?
The Ukrainian flag.
We see it all over the place. We see it here in
everywhere.
Green Bay.
Oh, amazing.
Yes.
A lot of support.
So you know there's support.
Oh, there's, yes.
Perfect.
I mean the Door County Candle Company. I believe you have a connection with them.
Lana?
Yes. Kelly, why didn't you talk about this? This was
so
your
Lana
initiative.
Was, yeah. So Lana was here 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was 2 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she brought a candle from the from the front lines. And we went
trench
to
trench candle.
Yes, that's a trench candle. Yes.
A trench candle that you would use if you were on the front lines and had no electricity.
Exactly.
Wow.
And it's displayed at the Door County Candle Shop up in Door County. And yeah, we were there. We spent some time. It was amazing. It's still there.
The woman who owns the shop is also Ukrainian.
Yes.
And so this was especially important to her. And so it was quite a special moment actually to be able to pass this along to her. Also considering her her livelihood.
It was
moving. She makes candles.
Yeah. Not only does she make candles, but she makes candles with a purpose. And she's
Indeed.
Raised over $1 million for Ukrainian relief.
Yeah.
So it's always amazing. Great to be able to promote, you know, local folks doing amazing things. Door County Candle Company, the Ukrainian candles, and they have other candles for a cause as well. But the Ukrainian candles are very special.
There are heroes everywhere. Absolutely.
Yeah. There are. Mm-hmm. All right. Back to the war. It's been 3 years mm-hmm. since the full-scale invasion. Mm-hmm. What was that day like for you?
There's, so anybody who was paying attention to what was going on and my physical situation, I would come on twice a day, actually, and do just a quick live from the blue balcony in my apartment.
Like a Facebook Live.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And people would understand that things were okay. And so for the first, I would say probably 6 or 7 days, I did this religiously. And then about halfway in, I thought, you know what, I'm pacing my apartment is not doing me or anybody else any good. Mm-hmm. I needed to do something that was far more useful. Mm-hmm. And so on day four, the last day of February, I said, you know what, we're going to do something to help people. Let's start a fund. Mm-hmm. And that's when Ukrainian Patriot was born. And throughout that time, though, it was a struggle. I won't lie. There were times when I thought, I have to get out of here. Mm-hmm. And lots of swearing was going on because there was a fear.
How do you go from, I am going to be part of the resistance, I am going to help people, to I have to get out of here? Like, is it a thing that happens? Is it something internal?
I think that you have... you know, ideologically, you have this idea to fight back.
Yes.
Mm. And then when you're actually faced with, so I'm just this one little girl, mm-hmm. and the idea of this 60 kilometer long line of tanks rolling into my city scared the crap out of me. Mm-hmm. And I had been having conversations with a friend of mine. There wasn't enough fuel for me to get out at that moment anymore. Lines and lines and lines of vehicles were leaving, were exiting Kyiv. The fueling stations were empty at this point, and I only had a half a tank left in my car at the time. And so I knew that I wouldn't get very far, even if I did decide to leave. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine said that they'd left one of their vehicles in Kyiv. She'd already left, and that if I wanted to siphon the fuel from her vehicle that I had, that I could do that. I had that opportunity.
Siphon the fuel from her vehicle.
Suck the fuel from her vehicle out so that I could, you know, put it into a jerry can.
Right.
I did attempt this, and it was to no avail. My ability, my MacGyver abilities were not helping at the time. So I didn't get out. And in fact, I ended up staying. And so in that moment, my fear turned into resilience. And it didn't matter at that time then what was going to happen. Tanks or no tanks. This little girl was staying put, and we were going to do something.
So we interviewed Lana pretty early on when there was a moment you were sitting on the floor, lights out. It was cold.
Yeah.
No electricity.
No gas. Yeah.
Nothing. And at some point, you could hear air sirens in the background.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to Lana, are you okay? She's like, and I think I was so in awe at what I was seeing and what I was hearing. I don't even remember what your response was. But as we sit here today, you just got an air alert on your phone.
Kyiv was under attack, yes. Or like, Kyiv is under attack.
Right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah. Yes. And so the alert comes on my phone, and I can see that sitting here how many thousands of miles away, but at the same time, no but, there are hundreds of thousands of people, millions actually, within the city of Kyiv, and not only, who will decide or not decide to move into a shelter for safety, mm-hmm. and or take, you know, whatever comes. The biggest, I think the biggest challenge, especially with what's flying through the air at any moment, because at the front line you expect this, but in cities where life is trying to continue at a pace that will live and thrive no matter what's going on, you forget that there's an actual war happening, mm-hmm. until the siren rings. Mm. And that's a very real reminder.
How often does that happen?
It varies from day to day. Mm-hmm. You can go for a couple of days where there's nothing, and then all of a sudden there's 12, 13, 14 air raid sirens. And or the siren lasts for hours at a time, which means there is, the skies don't clear.
Mm-hmm. It's constant.
It's constant. And so, again, this is it's one thing to understand during the day, but in the evening when people are trying to sleep, mm-hmm. this is also a form of torture, to mm-hmm. be honest. There's sleep deprivation. There's an immense amount of stress that are put on families. Families who, you know, mothers and fathers, husbands and wives have to go to work the next day. Children mm-hmm. go to school, or they don't because there's air raid sirens and it's too dangerous.
I can't even imagine going to work, going to school, having to get groceries, things that we do every day that you don't even think about because it's part of the cadence of your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But when you're trying to do it in a war zone where you're not sleeping and all of a sudden there's a siren and you mm-hmm. just know that you need to go to the shelter.
Yeah.
I can't even.
It's surreal.
It's surreal.
Yeah. It's a Hollywood movie in some ways.
Wow. Mm-hmm. All right. We need to take a short break. But when we come back, more with Lana and Kelly about what it's like to live in a war zone, knowing that you, Lana, you are a lifeline for the people you serve. Without you, would they survive?
Sure, they would survive. I just make it a little bit easier.
Mm. More on that soon. This is Dr. Kristen Lyerly with the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show.
Байрактар. Байрактар.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show. I am Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and I am joined by Emmy Award-winning journalist Kelly Peterson, who is working on a documentary about the hero sitting next to us. I know I keep saying that, but I just feel like I can't say it enough.
Yeah.
Lana Nyland, founder and CEO of Ukrainian Patriot. If you missed the beginning of our conversation, you can always find it wherever you get your podcasts, and you can always find me here on Saturdays and Sundays at 3 on WGBW and WISS, and streaming on the Civic Media app, which I love. Mm-hmm. Kelly, do you have the Civic Media app?
I do.
It's so nice to just be able to like pop it open in the morning. And I always like listening to, you know, Mino and the Mayor, the shenanigans.
I love it.
Yeah. But we're not doing shenanigans here. We're kind of serious, but we're also kind of like inspiring.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So that song, Not Familiar. I chose it.
Not familiar. No.
It shouldn't be. I chose it. It is the Ukrainian entry. I love music.
Okay.
So I was having a blast last night as I was looking for music. It was the Ukrainian entry into the Eurovision contest for 2025.
Wow. Uh-huh.
Yes. And for those of us who are not familiar with Eurovision, there's a great movie starring Will Ferrell about it, which is delightful. Eurovision is this huge European music contest. It is a huge deal.
Indeed.
And I was inspired when I found this because I thought, they have a 2025 entry? Ukraine is actually alive and well and vibrant despite the war.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But absolutely. It's not that way everywhere, though.
Not everywhere. Mm-mm. No. Frontline's a little bit more difficult.
Yeah. So tell us about that. What is it like to live and travel in a war zone?
So, not to be melodramatic, we are a small team, of very close-knit humans, internationals and Ukrainians both. And we've been working together for the last just over 3 years, taking much-needed supplies to the places that need them the most.
And that supplies like?
So that could be things like humanitarian, so food bags or hygiene kits. Mm-hmm. It could be generators. It mm-hmm. could be medical items. It could be IFACs, individual first aid kits mm-hmm. for our defenders. It runs the gamut, really, of anything that's non-lethal, that's going to help whoever it is that's living or working along the front line. Those who cannot or will not leave.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we don up our, you know, bulletproof vests. We've got helmets. We've got radios. It's we've come into this sort of way of being that is somewhat military in existence, because there has to be a chain of command and there mm-hmm. has to be a level of communication that exists outside of, you know, what happens sort of in a day-to-day normal, in quotes, normal existence.
Mm-hmm.
We could be in vehicles of one or two, a column of one or two vehicles, or up to four or five, just mm-hmm. depending on how much we're taking and what we're taking as well.
And this is when you're going to the front.
This is when we're moving. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And while our base is in Kyiv, the vehicles get loaded there. But then we've got anywhere from 5 or 6, 7, 8, 10, 12 drops, we call them, along the front line. So it's not just a one and done. It's there's an exit from Kyiv that takes mm-hmm. us along the either entire eastern front or the entire southern front.
How do you know where to go? Or do you have established places where people know you're going to be and they can go there for supplies?
We're so the first year it was complete scramble. You were just trying to understand where the greatest need was.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have established POCs, or points of contact, within the places that we go. No one gets aid from us that we haven't vetted or completely understand that there's full trust.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a reason for that. There are, you know, we live in an unpredictable society.
Yes.
There is a black market and aid does get sold. Mm-hmm. And so the people that we work with, I know that it's going into the right hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lana, would you share the story about the pizzeria? You dined there a couple of days prior, correctly?
Right. Yeah.
If you could just
There was a pizzeria in 2023 that was hit in Kramatorsk. Kramatorsk is in Donetsk Oblast, which is one of the hardest hit regions, provinces in the country at the moment, and the one that's fighting the hardest. It was about 10 o'clock at night that a rocket ended up taking out I would say probably 80% of the building.
Mm.
But at that moment, it was operating as a restaurant, and it was hit specifically because our enemy
mm-hmm.
Knew that this was a place that defenders visited quite often.
Mm-hmm.
Defenders and obviously civilians, but defenders also. And so it was hit, and we were not far behind, or not far away, rather, and so jumped into the closest vehicle, grabbed as much as we could in terms of medical and soft stretchers, and ran in. It was filling, by the time we got there, it was filling with civilians also who wanted to help.
Mm-hmm.
Some were more helpful than others.
Mm-hmm.
But I was working at the time with a combat medic who was impeccable in terms of his in terms of understanding what needed to happen. And it didn't matter. He was an international, actually. It didn't matter that he spoke the language or not.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what he was doing, and he was very specific with his instruction. And because of him, I believe that there were a number of people who survived that night that wouldn't have otherwise.
Wow.
Wow.
Have you been back to the scene?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. In fact, this same city, I've adopted a dog. We ended up evacuating a small pup at the time from the bathroom of the Kramatorsk train station that had been abandoned. And little Losik is now the love of my life.
Oh.
Yes.
It's so cute.
Yeah. We're there often.
We are talking with Kelly Peterson and Lana Nyland about her experiences in Ukraine on the front lines. Kelly and Lana are working on a documentary. Is it going to be called Ukrainian Patriot? Is that the plan, or have you not chosen a title yet?
No, I have a working title, but I may tweak it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Ballerina on the Battlefield right now is the working title. But as I go through so much footage, I'm it's still in my mind if I want to change it.
I can't imagine how much I look at my phone and I have like 35,000 pictures in my iPhone library. I can't imagine how hard it is to go through all of the footage that Lana has captured and that your photographers have captured and trying to distill that down to a story. How do you tell this story in such a short period of time?
I just go through the footage and every clip is a story. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to determine, but it comes together as I go through bit by bit, minute by minute. But each clip is a story.
It'll be compelling, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
I'm really excited to have Kelly on this project. She's a superpower in and of herself in her own way.
Too kind.
Well, that's the truth, because I think it comes from the heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's go back to your puppy.
Mm.
We get a little distracted there.
Yeah, yeah.
So you don't just do humanitarian work.
Right.
Is that the right word if you're doing it for pets? Petitarian?
Petitarian.
There's got to be a word for that.
Could be. Little Los, he's become the UP, Ukrainian Patriot, UP therapy dog. He travels with us, actually, to Frontline, and we should do some clips with Little Los as well. And he is a joy. Everyone who comes into contact with him, because you are, when we come into a community, for example, or even into a hospital or a base,
mm-hmm.
There's a level of seriousness or stress that that pervades. And we arrive and there's this sort of, it's almost physical. You can see this exhale. Mm-hmm. They're here.
These are the intangible things.
Yeah.
That it's not like you check off a box, like got a dog, you know?
I know,
like,
right.
This dog gives you something that you just can't even put into words.
Indeed.
It just like fills your heart and in a way helps to sustain you.
Yep. It's an energy.
Uh-huh.
And whether you believe in that or not, and I do, it's the sharing of energy between one human and another, one who's going through horrible, terrible, tragic events and another who's bringing light, love, hope, and connection, which is actually, that's our, you know, the UP tagline, mm-hmm. but it's also true. And specifically with that, actually, one of the things that people know UP for is we're the group that hugs. You don't get anything unless you give us a hug.
Oh, I'm there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm in on it.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, though, UP means something different to the folks in this region. It means Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Oh, okay. I'll
Good
know.
Point.
I'll know.
See? More commonality.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you talked a little bit about how Ukrainian Patriot was spawned at that moment where you said, I have to do something. How did you actually operationalize it? Because it's one thing to have an idea, but it's another thing to turn it into what you've been able to achieve.
Very little sleep and lots of coffee. I think back at all of the massive plans that we had going forward, and it was so massive. It was way more than what maybe we should have done at the time. And mm-hmm. yet now I look at it and it's like this huge uphill battle that is now done. It's now we can just do what we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'd done it, if I had ever thought about starting an NGO, which I never ever believed that I would ever be the CEO of,
mm-hmm.
It would not have been the way that we did it. And yet here we are, and we're still here. And one of the great things actually about Ukrainian Patriot is there were thousands literally of NGOs that popped up in 2022. There's maybe a couple hundred that are left.
Really?
And UP is one of them, not Upper Peninsula.
Why? Why were you successful?
Funding is one of them.
Uh-huh.
So funding is dried up for a lot of groups. But I also think that one of the things that's really important about UP is that there is, I have really high expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm known as Lady Boss
mm-hmm.
When people are in have good opinion of me, something else, which I won't, I won't mention
I
on
think
air.
Kelly and I can relate to that too.
Yes.
when I'm in the bad books. And so we don't let just anybody in. You have to meet some sort of criteria. You have to be able to communicate. You have to be able to listen to other people's opinions and basically just cohese. Mm-hmm. Find a way to be able to work together. Because one of the things that's really important about UP is that there is no one person that is the hero. Mm-hmm. We are all successful because we work so well together. And that includes this amazing human that's on my left here as well.
Well, I think a lot of what Lana does too with dance, as I like to say, she's kind of turned her ballerina shoes in for bulletproof vests.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like dance, you bring dance to the front lines, into the communities for therapy. Lana also brought in a lot of pets into our house when the full invasion really happened in 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I mean, that tells you what an amazing person she is. And she understands the importance of therapy and taking her dance and taking it to the children who have been impacted by this, because that's a whole nother. I mean, they're in basements learning. That's where school is, if I'm not correct.
It's true.
Yeah. So
bomb shelters.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So if you could take what you've done professionally and help a child, boy, you really are a hero.
Here we go again with the hero word. But I think when a lot of us think about humanitarian aid, we think about food and water and medical supplies. We don't think about dance and song and culture, the things that make us feel human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you bring all of that.
We try.
You have to.
Yeah.
Beautiful. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about, it's our last segment, so we only have a few more precious minutes.
I'll talk.
I want to talk a little bit about how the current climate in the U.S. is affecting your work in Ukraine and the Ukrainian people in general.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about that.
Yeah.
All
right, let's get into it. This is Dr. Kristen Lierley. You are listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I am Dr. Kristen Lierley. This is the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, and we are savoring a few more precious minutes with my inspirational guests, Emmy Award-winning journalist Kelly Peterson and Lana Nyland, founder and CEO of Ukrainian Patriot. You know, that song that we just used to come in is, we think of that as Carol of the Bells, but that's actually a Ukrainian folk song.
It's true. Shadrik. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's one of the most well-known, probably, Ukrainian songs that's out there. Mm. Well done.
And it's about bringing light and hope.
Indeed.
Yes.
Which is what Ukrainian Patriot does.
It absolutely does. And you are doing this with us here today. Your story, just sitting next to you, makes me feel uplifted.
Mm, thank you. Yes. We are sharing energy.
We are. So we share a lot in the world these days. Let's talk about how the current climate in the U.S. is affecting the work that you do and the people of Ukraine.
It's interesting how interconnected we all are. I think that we get lost in this idea that, you know, America is America, Ukraine is Ukraine, Europe is Europe, but actually we are such a small planet and we are so interconnected. President Trump has canceled all funding through USAID, which means that there's programs and people who have lost jobs within Ukraine. Exceptionally important programming that has been canceled or removed from within Ukraine, social projects and programs. The lack or the ceasing of military aid that had been promised from the U.S. is also a big worry for Ukrainians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was so hard to watch that House visit.
Oh.
I'm embarrassed. I mean, I'll just
me too.
I think many of us are just profoundly embarrassed.
It was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to say, to be honest, because I think that Zelensky stood his own.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was difficult for him to have said anything else. And yet, we also need to be able to work together.
Yes,
to move forward, to find a solution for peace, not a peace that is going to be dictated to us, but one that is going to work for Ukraine under Ukraine's terms.
Absolutely.
Lana, can you, there was talk about Ukraine needs to have an election, another election.
Mm.
What do Ukrainians feel about that?
Well, we are due for an election upcoming. However, under martial law, which is how we've been living for the last 3+ years, under international law, there's no need, there's no political need or law that says that you must hold elections.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are in this situation at this moment. What's important for Ukraine is absolutely at the point that we reach peace, there will be an election that will be called and it will be a democratic process. Until that happens, however, it is the status quo. We hold on to what we have at this moment without forcing any unnecessary chaos, because there is enough chaos in the country as it is.
Mm-hmm. And why? People might not understand why you wouldn't want to have an election at this time when there's so much chaos.
There are bombs falling, rockets being launched, shahids that are threatening the lives of people everywhere, not just along the front line,
mm-hmm.
But in my home city, which is in the center of the country, also in the West, which is a part of the country that borders Europe.
Mm-hmm.
There is enough to deal with at this moment without introducing a new president, a new set, a new group of legislations, a new group of people who will be coming in and adjusting what has already been established as an appropriate way forward.
Yes.
We don't need to unrock or unshake up that bottom.
Yes.
What
I agree.
And I'm just curious, what are you hearing from Ukrainians, boots on the ground?
Ukrainians want a democratic process, period.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that comes with an election or not is that's a moot point. A democratic process, and once peace is assured, that process will be enacted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why is it important to keep Ukraine in the limelight?
Good question.
Ukraine, for me, if I can say, Ukraine is the light that's leading the way at this moment. This is a war that was not instigated by Ukrainians. It is a war that is being fought by Ukrainians, but not instigated by. And it is with a neighbor who has, at various points in our history, stated that we are brothers,
mm-hmm.
brothers and sisters.
Related.
Yeah.
Literally like families on either side of the border.
Indeed. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. However, it is unfathomable to me, mm-hmm. that a family would go to war with each other, first of all.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that it's appropriate for Russians to understand or think that Ukrainian language, for example, is non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
To think that the Ukrainian culture or identity or history of Ukraine is not our own, but that it is somehow Russian in stature. That Ukraine shouldn't have its own future, its own identity moving forward. And so really that's what's happening here at this moment. Ukraine is fighting for a future for itself, but it's also an example to the rest of the world that it doesn't matter what is going on, no matter where we are, we all have the ability, we all have the power to do something about our current present.
We do. Whether we live in Ukraine or Northeast Wisconsin.
Or Northeast Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or anywhere across the United States.
Kelly, why bring Lana to Green Bay?
I think it goes back to what we were just talking about, is keeping Ukraine in the limelight, keeping the message that they still need help. Mm-hmm. We there's a lot that needs to be done to help the people in Ukraine, which is one voice at a time. Mm-hmm. And part of that is a documentary that I'm working on. And I think it'll, from the footage that Lana has shot, the interviews we've done from the beginning up until now, it's powerful.
Can people find out more about the documentary? Or not quite yet?
Not quite yet. I hope to have this wrapped up the end of the year.
Maybe we'll have a showing, maybe at the Tarleton?
A screening?
Maybe.
Love it.
Yeah. And Lana, tell us, share with our audience in the waning seconds we have here, how can they find out more about Ukrainian Patriot?
You can find us on socials. You can find us online, ukrainianpatriot.org, and that'll take you anywhere you need to keep in the know about what we're doing on a day-to-day basis.
Hey, I am so profoundly grateful to you for all of the work that you do, for your people, for the world. Really, we're all so interconnected, mm-hmm. and the work you do affects all of us.
Thank you.
Kelly, thank you for bringing Lana.
Thank you.
Friends, thank you all for joining us today. Thanks to my friends, Kelly Peterson and the real Ukrainian patriot, Lana Nyland. This is Dr. Kristen Lierley for the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.